And welcome into the Doug Russell Podcast. It is good to finally be talking to you again. It has been a long time in coming. It's been more than a week since our last show. Let me tell you, there sometimes are technical issues, and then there are technical issues. And when you roll up a COVID pause in there as well, not for me, but for a coworker, I'll explain that in a minute, then sometimes things get shoved to the side. And unfortunately, as much as I wanted to put out this podcast about 2 weeks ago, it was intended to come out about 2 weeks ago, just one thing after another, just unfortunately put it on the back burner. I apologize for that. There wasn't a whole lot, unfortunately, I could do about it because there are only so many hours in the day. I will say that if you are one of our listeners on 97.3 The Game in Milwaukee, we have stations all over the state of Wisconsin as well, in Wausau, Rhinelander, Madison, Green Bay on WNFL. Many of our affiliates on the iHeartMedia platform, on the Game Radio Network, if you will. It's a network that doesn't really have a name right now. But if you're familiar with my coworker, my teammate, Billy Schmidt, one of the great, by the way, young and up-and-coming sportscasters, not only in the state of Wisconsin, but also nationally on Sports Map Radio Network. He mans the 9 until midnight slot Monday through Friday, and then again on Sunday morning on Sports Map Radio Network, 9 to midnight Central Time. He's been out for the last couple of weeks with COVID. And when one goes down, somebody else has to kind of pick up the slack, and that was me. So I've been putting in 60 to 70 plus hour work weeks while Billy has been out. And unfortunately, there just hasn't been a whole lot of time left over. There's only so much bandwidth one has. So Billy is back to work. I'm grateful to see him for a couple of different reasons. First and foremost, I'm glad he's not sick anymore because he got hit pretty hard with the COVID-19. And while we're certainly, or at least it seems as though we're certainly in the last throes of COVID-19. It is still something that does still exist. It is something that people are still having to deal with, and people are still dying from this. And fortunately, Billy was able to, after a couple of weeks, recover, and he's back at work. So we're grateful for that. So first and foremost, I'm happy that he's healthy. That supersedes everything. You want everyone that's in your life that you care about to be healthy, and certainly Billy fits that bill. I saw him earlier today, and he looks good. I think he lost a couple of pounds, and he'll tell you, oh, that's not a bad thing. I don't think it's a bad thing for any of us, but he's back at work. Grateful that he's back to work, but now my schedule becomes a lot more regular, so I have more time to devote to something that I really, really love. Not that I don't love the Drew and KB show and everything else that goes on over at 97.3 The Game, because I do. But I also love this podcast, and I haven't been able to do it for the last couple of weeks. So, again, there hasn't been enough time to knock down everything to cover for Billy and to do this, as well as the technical issues on top of technical issues on top of technical issues that push back the release of this podcast. I don't want to belabor the point. I've got Reggie Holt coming up in just a couple of seconds to talk about Barry Alvarez, and I want to get to that interview in just a second. But just, I mean, again, there's a lot of things that have to go right. And for the first 80 episodes, we did have one other episode here on the Doug Russell Podcast that was pushed back a couple of times, unfortunately, because of some technical issues. But there is nothing in the 80 episodes, now 81 episodes of this show, that has ever pushed back an episode further than this one. I apologize for that. We've got them straightened out finally. I hope it doesn't happen again. But we've got a good show for you if you're a Wisconsin Badgers football fan, or if you're just a fan of athletics in the state of Wisconsin, because Barry Alvarez is a giant. And we knew that he was going to retire. The story came out more than a month ago now, and we had Scott Nelson on the program. He was one of Barry Alvarez's first football players at the University of Wisconsin, somebody who was recruited by Don Morton, played for a year in 1989 in front of, I guess you could call, friends and family at the University of Wisconsin at Camp Randall Stadium. And then Barry Alvarez came in, and Scott told some great stories. And he also gave me the numbers of a couple of his teammates. Hey, why don't you reach out to, I'm still in touch with Reggie Holt. I'm still in touch with Eric Unverzat. Would you like to have those guys on? And I said, yes, absolutely. And that's what we're going to have on today. And I'm so thrilled to talk to both of these guys because they were in on the ground floor when Barry Alvarez first got to the University of Wisconsin, more Reggie than Eric. Eric was recruited by Coach Alvarez and then was, and all three of them were part of that 1994 Rose Bowl championship team that meant so much to everyone in the state of Wisconsin. But when you look back at Barry Alvarez, I mean, this is a guy whose fingerprints are on everything in the city of Madison. You look at the Kohl Center. Wouldn't have happened without Barry Alvarez. You look at the additions and the upgrades to Camp Randall Stadium over the last 20 years or so. That wouldn't have happened without Barry Alvarez turning around the football program. There was never a need for a bigger, better football stadium in Madison because there were 35,000 empty seats when Don Morton was running the program into the ground with the Veer offense. So we're going to cover all of that on today's show. I hope Badgers fans get something out of this because it is really a look back in time at guys that were contemporaries of mine. But, you know, when I grew up in the 70s and 80s watching Badgers and Packers football in the state of Wisconsin, there wasn't much to cheer for. The Packers were awful in the 70s and mostly mediocre in the 80s. They redefined 8-8 because that's what they were. This once proud franchise in the 1960s under Vince Lombardi had fallen into disrepair, and the same thing was absolutely true of the Badgers. This was a team that occasionally had a decent season under Dave McClain. They went to a couple of lesser-tier bowl games, including the, how could we ever forget, Garden State Bowl, which was disbanded, I think, after two or three seasons, where they lost to Tennessee. So the bowl games that they went to, they didn't even win. Nobody thought they would ever go to the Rose Bowl. I mean, the Rose Bowl at the time was as big almost as the Super Bowl. Remember, there was no bowl championship series. There was no college football playoff at that time. It was you play your bowl games and then the voters decide who the national champion is. There was no national championship game. Going to the Rose Bowl was the best bowl game, the best final game of the season possible for the Wisconsin Badgers. And they hadn't been there in a generation. And when they went in 1993, and again, I've told this story over and over and over again, because the Packers hadn't really done anything yet. They were starting to get good with Ron Wolf and Mike Holmgren and Brett Favre, and Reggie White was coming in, and they were turning that franchise around into what we know it of it today, a two-time Super Bowl champion in my lifetime and many of your lifetimes as well. But the Badgers were first. They were the first one to climb that mountain. And for someone of my age, now I was in college when the Badgers went to the Rose Bowl in 1994, as were the guys that obviously we're talking to on today's show, so they're about my age. But what that meant was that state of Wisconsin football, for the first time in my lifetime, was relevant. And the television stations in Milwaukee certainly took notice. This was the lead story every single night on the news. Now, if the Packers go to the Super Bowl, sure. Yeah, absolutely. It's the lead story. But if the Badgers go to the Rose Bowl, you might get a blurb at the end of the sports news with everything else that's going on. But this was the story. The whole state was turned upside down. And people don't believe me when I tell them this, but I will go to my grave swearing it's true. When the Badgers went at the end of the 1993 season, the 1994 Rose Bowl, January 1st, 1994, that was a bigger story and covered more extensively than when the Packers went to the Super Bowl just a couple of years later. And I was part of the media. I was still in college back when the Badgers, as I mentioned before, but I was part of the traveling crew when I was at WTMJ Radio. I was part of the traveling crew that went to New Orleans for Super Bowl 31. That was a huge deal too, obviously. But people discount how big of a deal that first Badgers team going to the Rose Bowl was. So, without further ado, I've been wanting to do this show again for a couple of weeks now. I'm so happy to be able to finally put it out into the world. And joining me now on the program, he's been so gracious with his time and our patience as well. Former Badgers defensive back, but he started out as a quarterback playing the Veer under Don Morton. We'll get to that in a second. But former Wisconsin Badger and Rose Bowl champion Reggie Holt joining us here on the Doug Russell Podcast. Reggie, I appreciate the time so much. Thanks for joining me on the Doug Russell Podcast.
No problem at all.
So the early days of Barry Alvarez, when you look back on what he brought to the Wisconsin program really from day one, because you came to Wisconsin as a quarterback under Don Morton running the Veer, and then all of a sudden there's a coaching change and you're on the other side of the ball. Tell me about those early days of Barry Alvarez and your remembrances of him.
Absolutely. Well, it was wild for those of us who, to your point, who had come in under Don Morton. You indicated that I came in as a quarterback out of Miami, Florida. Not too many guys was making that journey from South Florida to Wisconsin at that point. And so really one of the reasons that, I mean, not just one, but the primary reason for me to even come to Wisconsin was to get an opportunity to play the quarterback position. At a major level, obviously the Big Ten. My older brother, Alan Holt, who was a quarterback under Lou Holtz at the University of Minnesota. So kind of had the Big Ten in our blood. And so I wasn't going to go there necessarily, but Wisconsin was the, I guess, closest thing to my brother, and decided to come to the University of Wisconsin. The one thing I would say about Coach, I mean, obviously the first thing you see or notice about Coach Alvarez is obviously a sense of confidence. The ability to persuade young folks, and it just, again, pursuits confidence, and you don't have to write that down. You can just see it when he walks into a room.
Do you remember the first meeting that you had with him and your impression of him when you walked away from that meeting with Coach Alvarez?
Yeah, I think we were all terrified. We had no idea what we were walking into. We were like, who is this guy, you know? You know, everyone, he kind of had this reputation about us, you know, all along, but when he's actually there and you know, you're tuned in to, even at that point, he was a great, had accomplished so many things in college football, and you know, he demanded respect from day one. And so from the time he walked in, by the time he walked out, we were still all in fear of who the man and the myth was already. So yeah, it was certainly a time that I look back on and shake my head, and but I'm thankful that I went through that process.
I asked Scott Nelson this, your former teammate at Wisconsin, a few weeks ago, because he, like you, was there at the end of the Don Morton era in Madison. And when you look back on Coach Alvarez's career, you look at the turnaround that took place in just a couple of short years, and we'll get to the Rose Bowl season in just a couple of minutes, but I think it's instructive to look at where the Badgers program was before he got there, because there's a generation, maybe a generation and a half, of people that are of a certain age, and you and I are just about almost exactly the same age, but there are those that are younger than us, maybe, you know, 35, 36 years old and younger, who have no idea what life with Wisconsin athletics was like before Barry Alvarez got there. What was the situation like? How bad, in your opinion, had it gotten under Don Morton in the late 1980s with all those empty seats at Camp Randall?
Yeah, unfortunately, it was pretty bad. I mean, it was probably one of the lowest points, if you know anything about the history of Wisconsin football. This was a period of time where clearly they've had multiple years of losing seasons. And, you know, obviously everyone's goal, including myself on the tail end of Scott Nelson, you mentioned, that's one of my buddies to this day. And we talk about our journey together and how special it was and how thankful we are to have had one another go through that process. But again, it was not a good time in Madison. As you mentioned, the stands were empty for the most part. The productivity, the product that was being put out just was not selling. I mean, and it's hard to sell a program when you're winning one or two games a year. And so that was consistent. Of course, we had very little respect amongst our peers and co-students there. I mean, obviously no one really wanted to go to a game. I remember a time we were handing out tickets. We were trying to give away tickets to come see us play. And, of course, no one wore the Letterman jacket. It was something that we laughed about years later. But, again, the one thing about Coach Alvarez, from day one, he came in, he set expectations. He told the public and the media he had belief in himself, and he instilled that same belief into the players that he had. I don't know if you know the story. Obviously, there was quite a few people that when he came in, as far as our athletes, our team, that, hey, by the end of 3 weeks, the rooms were empty. You know, so he had run off all the guys that didn't want to buy in or be a part of it. And a lot of our friends who came in with Don during the Don Morton years, you looked up and they were no longer there. And so those who were there wanted to be there, wanted to be coached hard, wanted the opportunity. And I think that's why many of us persevered and was successful in the end.
Well, you were quoted as saying, these are your words, not mine, he damn near ran off half the team because he was trying to get players to buy into his system. He was just testing guys. Winter conditioning was probably the worst winter conditioning I've ever been a part of in my entire career. And he did that solely to run people off. Again, your words, not mine. How hard was it?
Oh, man. I try to put it all in perspective and see how I can, describe that. But to me, it's sort of like, I guess, running over hot coals for about 3 hours a day with no ice. It's just extremely painful. You probably shouldn't be doing it, but, this guy is testing you out, and he's testing your will. And for those of us who were tough-minded, we were going to make it through no matter what. And I think in the end, guys like myself and Scott Nelson, many of the other guys who actually ended up really setting the foundation for the program, that's exactly what we were. And so we were tough-minded. Like I said, like Coach Alvarez, like his staff. And then he went out and recruited guys that were like himself. You talk about Brent Moss and Terrell Fletcher and J.C. Dawkins and cats like that. Those guys were tough. And so you kind of had the blend of the old and the blend of the new. And we were on a mission, and we started seeing that progression right away. And so, like I said, Coach means so much to the, of course, to the University of Wisconsin. We would not have had this the successful run that we've had. But most importantly, man, he was instrumental in developing men, and all of us followed his lead.
You mentioned that when you got to Madison, it was to play quarterback at a big-time university. You're known, and I just said it, you're former Badgers cornerback, not former Badgers quarterback. Was that difficult on you to make that switch from offense to defense, especially going through all of that winter conditioning? You said that you're tough-minded, but how close did you come to just saying, you know what, forget it, this isn't what I signed up for?
Oh, I'm sure I've said that quite often in the first couple of years, actually, making that transition, as you indicated. I'll take it even a step further. So clearly when Coach Alvarez's staff came in, a lot of the guys that were playing quarterback at the time, he was up front. He just told us, hey, we're going a different direction. He had a couple guys in mind. I was a true freshman at the time, and so I was just really getting my feet wet trying to figure out the offense under the previous staff. But, I didn't really get that opportunity. But when he came through and we went through winter conditionings and things of that nature, I think it gave us an opportunity to really show the new staff that was coming in. It gave them an opportunity to reevaluate all the players. And that was great for me because it gave me an opportunity to, like I said, as a freshman, I wasn't playing anyway, to really show and have and be on equal footing as many of the other guys. And so I took it as an advantage. I went from being probably the fourth quarterback at the time to being the last receiver, because he actually made us all receivers. So I went from probably being the fourth quarterback to being the number 12 wide receiver. So I had no choice but to show my will, and so I went through that process of going to a receiver actually first, and then ultimately by spring ball I had worked my way up to the number one receiver. And I'm sure everyone was surprised. I was surprised by that. And then we went into the season, just to tell the story. I went into the season. As you know, Wisconsin, we're running the ball. We're pounding the ball. We're not throwing the ball. And I'm out there as a blocker. And I'm like, hey, this is for the birds. So I went to coach. And actually, we're in practice one day, and there's this play where the receiver goes in motion and cracks the defense, the linebacker, outside linebacker. And I'm just pissed off this day because I'm not getting the ball in the games or whatever. And so they call the play in the huddle. I come in motion, and I just deplete this outside linebacker, and everybody goes crazy, right? Oh, my God, what is that? So the coach was so crazy, he said, I tell you what, run it again. We go back. You would think that the same player would know that I'm coming to motion. And like I said, I'm pissed off, and I deplete the guy again. So the defensive back coach says, hey, if you guys don't want that son of a gun, send him over here. And that's how I ended up playing defensive back. That's the story.
It's a great story. Those first couple of years, I guess the first year specifically, the new regime comes in. There's all these changes that you're talking about. The team, though, still just 1-10. Were you a better team that first season, though, even though the record didn't reflect it, as opposed to where you were the year prior, in your opinion?
I think so. I mean, clearly we had more confidence in ourselves. I think if you ask Coach Alvarez and the staff, maybe we didn't have all the pieces at that point in terms of just personnel. But you can see the progress that we continued on in that season. And it's a hard thing to show when you don't have any wins. You know, you're having multiple losses one after the other and still be able to see us show progress. And that's why he was key. You know, he didn't give up on himself. He didn't give up on us. He just found a way to, like I said, in the next recruiting cycle, get some more guys that could help us. And like I said, none of us gave up. We just took it in stride. We believed in the plan, and we followed his lead. And so to your point, although we were losing that first year, we knew and we could see progress in ourselves. And obviously over the years, the rest is history.
Was there a turning point for you and for the rest of the guys in that locker room that, okay, we were 1-10 the first year under Coach Alvarez, but, you know, there's steady progress, 91, 92, and then obviously 93 when you guys shocked at least everybody in the state of Wisconsin, if not the football world, to go to the Rose Bowl. But was there one game, was there one turning point that you can point to that things just kind of clicked and started to fall into place?
No, I don't know about the first year. In fact, I don't even know about the second year. But to your point, the 93 season, you know, we were just committed. We were what, 1 or 2 years into the Alvarez regime at that point. And we were in a lot of close games, you know. The year before, which was in 92, obviously, we were knocking down the doors. We were, I think, 5-6. I remember being 5-5 going into that last game of the 92 season. And we had an opportunity to go to a bowl game, and we had fought so hard to get there. And that particular game was obviously against Northwestern, and they came into Madison, and it was a battle. I don't think any defense could stop the other team's offense. And so it was kind of a seesaw battle. But I remember in the end what really ticked us off and what I think really had a lot to our future success was that we were so disappointed that we were not going to go to the bowl game because at the end of the game, about 10 seconds left, Northwestern was up. And I forget the quarterback at the time, but that son of a gun came to the last snap, as you call it, victory formation. And he says to us, now, we're defense. We're there. The game is over. We're standing there waiting on the last snap. And he tells us, he says, you son of a gun thought you was going to a bowl game. But, hey, you guys are going nowhere but home. And he snapped the ball and kneeled down. We were so hot. We were so hot. Hey, we were ready for it. We were ready to play 4 more quarters against this guy, you know. And, but yeah, so that probably was the turning point for us, man. We were so pissed off that 93 season, man, we came back and we was determined and we was ready to go. And, you know, in hindsight, I didn't know we were going to be that good, but you can just kind of start seeing it, you know, game after game. We kept building our confidence. And, you know, I would put our team up against anybody. I mean, towards the end of that season, you know, had they had a college playoff and we had an opportunity to be in it, you know, I would certainly put my house on Wisconsin at that point.
Did you get a good sense of appreciation as to how much that, and I know you were a world away because you clinched going to the Rose Bowl against Michigan State, but you were in Tokyo. Did you get a good sense of appreciation as to how much that meant to Wisconsin football fans? Because the Packers hadn't gotten good yet, and it had only been about 20 years of bad football between Wisconsin and Green Bay in those years. Did you get a good sense of appreciation as to how much your going to Pasadena meant to the state of Wisconsin, to long-suffering fans?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that, you know, while we were going through it at the time, I said, I had no idea how good we were. You know, we were just really just trying to put wins on the board. And but we were winning close games. And I think one of the games that kind of turned it for was against SMU. And we went down to Texas and we were playing them and kind of seesaw battle. But they ended up going up a couple of TDs towards the back end of that, maybe the third quarter. And, man, we came out. Instead of us folding like we would normally do or find a way or looking at the clock, you know, we rallied and we were able to come back. And I think that game kind of set the tone for us and basically put everybody on notice that, hey, this is a pretty good football team. And they're willing to and they're able to come back. And I think we shocked ourselves, but, you know, what it did was it boosted our confidence. And so as we continued on, of course, win after win after win, you could feel it. You could feel it at that point that it meant much more to not just the folks on the team, but people in the community. I mean, obviously they looked at you differently. They respected you more. The confidence was there. Like I said, and then, of course, we started really learning the history about Wisconsin football and all the prior players that have come before us and what have you. And so we were extremely excited about the opportunity. And, of course, going to Japan at the time, we did that because we thought we were not going to go to a bowl game. So Alvarez put that game on our schedule because, you know, he really just wanted to give us an opportunity to taste the bowl game. And that's the reason why he did that. Who knew that we were going to have to go there to clinch the Big Ten title and then ultimately a berth to the Rose Bowl. So it was just a great year. It was a great season. I mean, everything came together. That team loved one another. And we would go to battle with each other no matter who the team was. We really did feel that way about each other and our team.
As we wrap things up with former Badgers cornerback Reggie Holtz, part of the 1994 Rose Bowl champion team, when you look back on the career of Barry Alvarez, 15-plus years as head coach, 15-plus years as athletic director, what has he meant to you and what, as someone who was there from day one, have you seen him mean to the program?
Well, he is Mr. Wisconsin at this point. You know, he is probably the most instrumental person there is in Wisconsin football, and obviously as he took on other responsibilities later. But without him, what you see today and what people have seen over the years, as you indicated, last 30 years or whatever it's been, would not have been without Coach Alvarez's vision, his plan, his commitment to the university and the commitment to his players, getting the very best out of us. And, you know, again, most importantly, we learned many life lessons from him. He always taught us to show love to people that you really cared about, regardless of male or female. And I took some of those lessons and that advice, and I apply that to my life today. And I'm really, really thankful. I'm really proud of the job that he's accomplished, that he's done, and all the accolades that he's accomplished is unmatched. He should be very proud of what he's put together. And I understand that he can walk away right now and look back, knowing that he gave all of his players and gave the University of Wisconsin everything that he had, and he should be extremely proud of that.
Final thing for you, as we're joined by Reggie Holt. You mentioned you've taken some of those lessons that you learned from Barry Alvarez into what you're doing today. I'm sure some of our listeners would love to know what you've been doing since your football career ended.
Well, I've done quite a bit. When I left the University of Wisconsin, I actually played for the Packers for 2 or 3 years. Left there in, I believe, 90, what was that, 7, I believe it was, 98. Ended up going to the World League, played for the London Monarchs in London, toured Europe. I got a chance to play over there with some great guys. And then I came, returned home, got into the human resources field. I've basically done everything in human resources from the ground up to, I was recruited to director to vice president. I'm currently now a HR consultant for a major hospital system down here, over 14,000 employees. And I also have my own nonprofit organization, which was founded by my dad over 45 years ago in the inner city of Miami. Through track and field, we give underprivileged kids the opportunity to expose them to different things in life and different places so that they understand that you know, the world that they live in day to day, that's not the only thing that's out there. I've been very fortunate, or our organization has been very fortunate to coach Olympians. I've been to the Beijing Olympics to support two of our athletes over there. Right now, I'm the coach of the fastest college football player, Anthony Schwartz, out of Auburn. Tyson Campbell is also one of our products. He's actually out of the University of Georgia. He should go in the first two rounds in this draft as well. So I've been busy, like I said, giving back to the community and have an opportunity to live my life a little bit through current athletes, and that's what I've been doing.
Well, you certainly made your mark here in the state of Wisconsin. There's no doubt about that, with the Packers as well as the Badgers, as you mentioned. Reggie Holt, kind enough to spend a few minutes with us here on the program. Reggie, I appreciate the time and the insights and the remembrances of Coach Alvarez so much. It was a joy catching up with you, and I can't thank you enough for the time.
No problem, and always on Wisconsin.
Reggie, I appreciate the time. There he goes. Reggie Holt, former Wisconsin Badger, joining us here on the Doug Russell Podcast. Let's keep it going. Eric Unverzagt played at Wisconsin in the early days of the Barry Alvarez era as well. Eric was a linebacker at Wisconsin from 1991 through 1995. Spent a couple of seasons in the NFL with the Seattle Seahawks. He's now a teacher in his hometown in upstate New York. Eric, thanks so much for joining me here on the Doug Russell Podcast today. I appreciate it.
Good morning. Doing well. On Wisconsin, as always.
As always, on Wisconsin. As you look back on the beginning of your journey with Coach Alvarez, tell me about how hard those early days were and ultimately how rewarding those days became to be part of a team that was the first in more than a generation to go to the Rose Bowl.
It was definitely very rewarding, but it was definitely very tough mentally and physically. And I think Coach Alvarez and his staff were looking, you know, for guys who were kind of blue collar, who were going to work hard, buy into his plan. And, you know, if you were tough enough, you know, you were able to reap the rewards a few years later of playing in the Rose Bowl. You know, I'm still a high school coach, and I tell kids, you know, I'm not the best player, but I wasn't going to be out hustled. And I think that's what he was looking for, is guys that were just going to be, you know, carrying their lunchbox and going to work every day and getting it done. And it was a very rewarding experience, the way he was able to motivate us all to buy into his plan, you know, when it was a big turnaround for the University of Wisconsin.
As you know, Eric, a short time ago, I was speaking to one of your teammates, Reggie Holt, and he tells stories of how hard that first training off season was. Did you have any idea that's what you were in for when you got to Madison?
Definitely not. I remember the conditioning with not just Coach Detman in the summers, but the conditioning before spring ball, like winter conditioning with the coaches. And it was six stations. They had garbage pails lined up everywhere. And, you know, it was teaching us how to push ourselves to the limit. So on the field, when the coaches weren't there, we were mentally tough and physically ready. You know, I remember throwing up lots of times, and you just kept pushing yourself because you were believing in the plan. And I do not miss doing those conditioning drills. I can tell you that much. They were very, very, it was very tough. It was a very tough thing to go through, but I'm so happy that I was, you know, able to do it. And like I said, the winning the Rose Bowl and even playing in the Hall of Fame Bowl the following year were two great experiences for me. And obviously it led to a brief NFL career, but, you know, I was able to continue a little bit playing football, and I learned how to push myself from basically Coach Alvarez and his staff.
You ever regale your players today when they're going through summer camp and drills of how tough things were when you were at Wisconsin?
Yeah, and one of the things I tell them is, you know, the other team is not going to care if you're tired. They're going to keep pushing too. You got to try and push through and realize that, you know, sometimes you can do more than you mentally think you're capable of. And that's a relaying message I try and explain to my players. I coach high school football out here in New York, and I'm always trying to tell them, you got to outwork kids. You got to work hard. You got to be mentally tough. And, you know, it's a message that was sent to me, you know, at Wisconsin, you know, from Coach Alvarez and the staff.
To that end, being from New York State, you never had to endure the 70s and 80s, the lean years of football in the state of Wisconsin. Some say that the 70s and 80s for Packers fans after the glory years of the 60s were the gory years, if you will. Not glory, but gory years. Did you ever get a full understanding of that Rose Bowl and what it meant to us that grew up in the 70s and 80s here in Wisconsin?
Yes, and it might have been on the bus ride home from Chicago when we flew back from Japan, when you just saw all cars lined up and all the people in the stadium when we got there. And, you know, that was my third year in Wisconsin, so I've already made some, you know, some friends that were from Wisconsin. And, you know, everything was about the Badgers going to the Rose Bowl, and I did realize how big it was, you know, at that moment, that it was a really big thing for the state of Wisconsin. And I'm glad I was a part of that. I'm honored to be a part of that.
Well, when you got out to Pasadena, you weren't favored. You were a decided underdog against UCLA. I'm interested in the mindset that Coach Alvarez laid out to you, because for us back home in Wisconsin, we were just so happy that you were out there. We never really thought about what it might be to actually win the game.
So, you know, Coach Alvarez definitely instilled in us that we would not be intimidated by anyone. And one of the things that we did was we were the home team, so we wanted the home locker room, Coach Alvarez said, which was UCLA's locker room because that was their stadium. And that was kind of a, you know, a big thing where our coach was like, hey, we're the home team. It's Camp Randall West. And we weren't intimidated by, you know, by Stokes, by Cook, nobody. You know, we were ready. We were prepared. You know, we were going to grind it out. We were, you know, insulted that they were favored and we weren't. And we used all that as motivation. And it was a close game. You know, I felt like it was a little bit closer than a score, but, you know, the defense had to make plays at the end to win it. And we weren't intimidated. We weren't going to go out there and, we were, you know, say, hey, it's UCLA. They're Pac-10. We're just house money in it. No, we were going out there to win. And that was one of our goals. You go to a bowl game and you win the bowl game. And he instilled that in us as well. It's definitely not house money.
I think to some of us it was. We weren't expecting it. How do you describe that feeling, though? Being out on the field, it being the athletic highlight of your life, I would imagine.
It definitely was a highlight for me. And I remember, you know, when we did the Big Ten story, you know, about that run, and Chris Hine talking about, like, it was just, you're gasping for air, but we kept pushing on. We were pushing and pushing on defense, you know, and that was instilled in us by Coach that, you know, we had to push through. We had to keep fighting to the last play. And what, you're right. When we did, I think Pete Monty made the hit on him or he went down, and it was like, oh my God, we're going to win. And at that moment, you don't realize how big it is for the state, but the feeling of the win was incredible. And then afterwards, you start to realize, just by all the congratulations you get wherever you go in Wisconsin, you know, people remember that moment. And to be a part of that for me is truly a tremendous honor.
You still show off your Rose Bowl ring to your players today?
I actually don't. I'm a very modest person with it. I sometimes am told that I have to express to my players some stories, which I have been doing more, and telling them stories about my experiences with football, because, you know, a lot of them need to understand that it's not easy to play college football at any level, let alone Division I at a great school like Wisconsin. So I am getting better. I do show kids it sometimes. I'll bring it in. I'll make sure I bring it in. We're having a spring season out here right now. But it's just the way I am a little bit. So I've been getting better at that, just trying to show it off a little bit. Because kids get, you know, they like that, especially young adults. They're very impressionable. So they need to understand how hard it is to get something like that.
Is there anything that you don't think that people know about Barry Alvarez that you think they should?
No, I just feel like he was a master motivator, you know, just always trying to figure out a way to mentally get an edge. Like when we played Duke in the Hall of Fame Bowl, and all of a sudden Duke was this well-conditioned team, and all of a sudden our conditioning program was one of like a marathon runner, I felt like, because we were going to out-condition them. Or the week we played Minnesota, you know, Caddyshack's on in the locker room all the time because we got to get the Gophers. So he always had a plan with mentally gaining an edge, you know. And that's all I could think about, you know. And I always feel like my surreal moment was at the Purdue game the last season, and I'm sitting there with my son, even on the field, taking a picture with coach, you know, and it's like something that I never thought would ever happen. It was just, oh my God, I'm here 20 years later. And, you know, everybody still remembers the Rose Bowl. And it was great to share that moment with, you know, the Wisconsin fans, and let alone my son, who's a big football fan, my younger son.
Eric Unverzagt, former Badgers linebacker, Rose Bowl champion, one of Barry Alvarez's first players, kind enough to spend a few minutes with us here on the Doug Russell Podcast. Eric, thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it very much. Thank you for being patient with us as we work through some issues on the technical side as well. I appreciate the time and continued success.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. On Wisconsin, and best of luck to Coach Alvarez.
All right, there he goes. Eric Unverzagt, former Wisconsin Badgers linebacker. Again, those teams from the early to late 1990s, I mean, they were fun to watch, and the Badgers didn't go to the Rose Bowl every year after 1994. It was a few years before they got to 1999, when they would, ironically enough, take on UCLA again, were decided underdogs again, had a great running back, Brent Moss in 1994, Ron Dane in 1999. There were a lot of similarities between those two teams. One of the similarities is that it became, once again, Camp Randall West. And one of the most astonishing records that that era of Wisconsin football has, and that Barry Alvarez has, is that there has never been before or since, and I know it's harder now because of the college football playoff and the bowl championship series was just starting to begin in the late 1990s. I think the first year of it was 1998. But one of the most astonishing records that Barry Alvarez holds is he is the only Big Ten coach to lead his Big Ten team to back-to-back wins in Pasadena on New Year's Day. He's the only coach in the Big Ten. Now, the Pac-10 has done it, but the only Big Ten team to win back-to-back Rose Bowls. That's astonishing to me. And when you think about those great Ohio State teams of the 1970s, you know, all of those Bo Schembechler coach teams at Michigan that went to the Rose Bowl. But if you look at the one blemish on Bo Schembechler's career, well, there's two, never won a championship, never won a national championship. And he won, I think it was like 3-11. I don't have the numbers in front of me. He was like 3-11 or 3-12 in Pasadena at the Rose Bowl, which is astonishing to me that he was someone who had that much failure after having so much regular season success. But Barry Alvarez, again, the one guy who was able to win back-to-back Rose Bowls at Wisconsin in 1999 and then in 2000 when the Badgers went back to Pasadena and beat Stanford. All right, that'll do it for this edition of the Doug Russell Podcast. Thank you so much for hanging with us, and we will be much more regular with these shows coming up. But again, we had to work through a bunch of things that kind of all snowballed at the same time, so I do appreciate your patience. Keep your letters and your notes coming to us. You can always interact with us on our socials. You can find us at Doug Russell Pod on Instagram and on Twitter. You can always drop us a line on email, DougRussellPod@gmail.com. For all of our shows, the back catalog, you can find our videos on YouTube. You can find everything that we do in one easy, convenient place. Very simple. www.DougRussellPod.com. Again, that's www.DougRussellPod.com. That'll do it for this edition of the show. We will talk to you next time right here on the Doug Russell Podcast.